0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on yet another big night of European action. Rangers welcome Union Saint-Gilloise with an outside chance of a top 8 Europa League finish. That's as Rabi Matondo leaves on loan. Celtic will play Bayern Munich or Real Madrid after losing 4-2 at Aston Villa to bring the curtain down on their Champions League campaign for now. And Motherwell fans, what's the latest in your search for a new manager? Give us a call on 01419511025. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Got to say, the new European format has been a huge success for us because the big weeks keep coming. Usually by this time in January, we're done and dusted and out of Europe with nothing to talk about apart from the league or the Scottish Cup coming up. But the interest just keeps coming. Rangers, huge game tonight. Can they seal a place right in the knockouts? Don't need to go through the playoffs with a win and other results going their way. And for Celtic last night, what a spectacle it was. What a game of football it was. Deservedly lost on the night, you'd have to say, but they go on and fight another day against one of the European giants.
Yeah, I echo what Mark says there, especially from last night. What a start we got off to. Battle of Britain usual, the Scottish club against an English club. English think that the Scottish league is a poor league. And I've got to say, after 4 or 5 minutes, they've probably been right. You're thinking this is going to end up anything. All credit to Celtic. Great, great character. Get back into the game. I thought it was a brilliant game. I really enjoyed the game. Unfortunately for Celtic, Aston Villa just a little bit too strong. I thought Aston Villa second half were terrific. And I thought Schmeichel pulled off some great saves as well. But I think Brendan Rodgers is right in what he says. They can take a lot of confidence out of the game. And you look forward to another night for the Rangers fans. Ibrox, Thursday night. We know what that produces. So I'm looking for a positive result.
01419511025. That's the number you need. So give us a call as early as you can if you want to look ahead to the game tonight. Rangers fans, we'd love to do that. You know the drill on these big European nights. Are you on the way to the game? You're in the car, on the bus, the train, whatever it is, give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking ahead of this one. Opta tells you it's about a 10% chance of a top 8 finish, I believe. Are you an optimist? Are you a glass half full type that thinks that could happen? Or are you just focusing on finishing on a high, finishing as high up the table as possible, getting another win, good performance, keeping momentum going, that sort of thing? Give us all your thoughts ahead of the game tonight then, Rangers fans. A bit away from the game, Rabi Matondo has gone to Hanover on loan. That's been confirmed this evening. So any thoughts there or how the squad is shaping up in the January window, we are here for you. You've heard the guys, they were both well impressed with the game. They both think Celtic gave a good account of themselves. Brendan Rodgers spoke of his pride at the performance. How did you see it, Celtic fans? How big a night might it turn out to be for Adam Ida? All the question marks in the last few nights about someone coming in and how can they replace Kyogo. Not a bad way to start it. Adam Ida getting a double at Villa Park. It was a bit of an understrength team, certainly, that ended the game. Some youngsters coming on, no Cameron Carter-Vickers. Did it expose some weaknesses in the squad, or will everything be fine if everyone is fit and well? What did you take away from the game last night, Celtic fans? And how do you feel about Real Madrid or Bayern Munich? You fancy that in the next round? Because we'll find out which one of them it will be tomorrow. Same number, 01419511025. All week, Motherwell fans, this has been the busiest week for you on Clyde One Super Scoreboard for a long, long time. If you want to give us the updated thoughts, again, you can do. And anything else, we've got a big weekend round the corner. We've got midweek European games. We've got, what's that, about 4 days left of the transfer window. No shortage of talking points. Give us a call. All happening, Mark.
Yeah, unbelievable week with that game last night. But you're right, I think the transfer window has kind of went under the radar. I know we've had a couple of big stories, Kyogo being the big one,
last
Jota
time
coming
we
back.
Saw you, Kyogo was a Celtic player.
Yeah, I know,
Jota
unbelievable.
Was nowhere to be seen.
Well, crazy how that just came about. We all heard the discussions around Kyogo, and I think I was saying everyone's a body language expert, and everybody's got their opinion on that. But I didn't expect him to go so soon. And equally, I didn't expect Jota to come in. The Kieran Tierney thing, I suppose, has flared up and that deal's done for the summer, but can they get it across the line the next few days?
Reports tonight actually are no.
No,
yeah. The summer, that's the latest, but you know, these things can always change, I guess.
They can always change, depending on how, you know, willing both parties are, and things fall into place from an Arsenal point of view, and it might just be willing to let him go, because...
Looking less likely tonight, by all accounts.
So that'll be a shame, because Celtic might have just left themselves a wee bit short in that position. But then on to another big game tonight and big games at the weekend. So a really busy week, and it will be for the next couple of days with the transfer window still open.
Come on then, 01419511025. Give us a call. Are you on your way to Ibrox tonight? Are you going to watch it on TV? What are your thoughts? How do you rate your chances? I mean, technically it's meant to be 10% officially of getting through to that top eight. Can you see it? Is that very much in your sights? Or what else are you looking to take away from tonight? What would your lineup be, Celtic fans? Last night, let's do the lot. Andrew McLean is going to set the scene at Ibrox.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yeah, last night was a good way to really have a look and see exactly what the final, you know, day of the group stages of this new European format are going to be. I was watching on. It was absolute chaos, wasn't it? The table was moving all over the place, but I enjoyed it. I'm sure a lot of other people enjoyed it as well. When you've got so many teams in the group stage where there's so few points between so many teams, then there's always going to be movement, and it's going to be exactly the same in the Europa League tonight the way it was in the Champions League last night. You look at Rangers' position at the moment, they can actually finish anywhere between 5th and 23rd tonight. That's how close it is. Now, what Rangers need to do tonight is they have to beat Union Saint-Gilloise here at Ibrox. That's the main thing. They need to make sure they go out and they get that victory. Then it's all about other results. I could stand here, I could talk you through the permutations, but it would take forever. Essentially, there are 8 games that Rangers need to look out for. 5 of those games need to fall in Rangers' favour. Essentially, every game that falls in Rangers' favour, they move up a place in the table and could end up in the top 8. It's a slim chance. You said it, Gordon, a 10% chance. The sort of supercomputers work that type of thing out, but it is a chance. Rangers enjoy these Thursday nights. They'll be hoping that they can go out and do their job here tonight, and then at the end, we'll wait and see exactly what that table looks like, and then it'll be looking below or above the table to see exactly who Rangers will play potentially in the playoff round. If they get lucky and all things fall into place tonight, then it'll be looking to that last 16 Rangers being able to skip the playoff round. But as we say, it is a slim chance as it stands, but a chance nonetheless. In terms of team news, we actually don't know a whole lot coming into tonight, because Philippe Clement was asked about fitness injuries yesterday in his pre-match press conference. His words were, "This is a decisive game. I don't want to give the opponents a one-up." He doesn't want to reveal exactly who may or may not be fit for this game. Václav Černý has been missing, but was out training yesterday. John Souter, exactly the same. Could he make a quick return to the starting lineup after featuring in training? I'll bring you that full team news shortly.
Yeah, interesting that, because Philippe Clement always just tells you who's injured and who isn't. Always does it. But he said he didn't want to give his countrymen a wee boost ahead of this one, and it could be quite significant. Černý would absolutely be nailed on to play, wouldn't he? John Souter was back training, probably too early for him. It should be an interesting one. So pick up the phone, Rangers fans, 01419511025. Is Cyril Dessers now all of a sudden very much in the picture to start these big games again? Gordon DL's excited. He tipped him to be top scorer. He thinks it could be back on. What about Graham and Thornley Bank? Graham.
How are you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure.
It's just regarding, like you said, Gordon, about big Dessers. I've stuck my neck out for the big striker throughout the whole season and last season. It baffles me, like the way he's been treated by certain Rangers supporters, because his numbers are incredible. At the weekend, a few people I know were saying he was falling over the ball and he shouldn't have been in the team, and he's producing goals like that. And I think if we were to sell him in the January transfer window, it would be one of the club's biggest mistakes, because the numbers that he can give you, that he has given us over the last two seasons, for somebody that apparently isn't that good, if you let him go, who do you bring in? Because he brings more to the table instead of Danilo. I think And going forward as well with potential transfer targets who Rangers are trying to get, I read something online what apparently we're supposed to be bringing Ryan Kent back in a free transfer as well. And obviously the rumours about Big Cottage coming back. Did they improve the team going forward? And if they do bring like, people like that in, does it bring a halt to the youngsters what we have like breaking into the team just now? Because I think they now, the way the league is, and okay, we're still in one cup competition out with the Europa League, the now's the best time, in my opinion, to play these young boys, lead them into the team. They've got nothing to fear, and I don't think they can do any worse than the way certain players have been playing just now.
What do you think then, Gordon? Cyril Dessers, he hasn't started any of Rangers' last three Europa League games. It looked like his time had come and gone for starting games like this one. Do you think he could start tonight?
100%. I'll be amazed if he doesn't. Why not? He scored a great goal at Old Trafford. Scored a really good goal at Tannadice. Look, he's got his critics, and I understand why, because some of his link-up play at times is not the best, right? We can accept that. I would never let Dessers go out of the building just now. I've been a fan for, you know, since he came in. I like the guy. I think that his critics say, oh, he misses so many chances, but he's in the place to miss the chances. He's in the right areas, the right positions. I think what's happened to him is the best thing was he got left out of the team. He started coming off the bench. He looked more relaxed. He looked like all the sort of pressure had been taken away from him. He started banging in goals. His return, I totally agree with Graham. See, if you look at his career, his full career, every club he's been at, he scores goals. So it tells you that the guy's a goal scorer. Has he got his faults? 100%. But as I say in the game, and I like to say, is he is a finisher. And that's what he is, a finisher, Gordon. And if you give him the right opportunity, he'll put the ball in the back of it.
It's what you call a number nine.
Yeah, he's
that's what I was sniggering at. Yeah. You know, but it's a curious narrative around Dessers and Danilo, and Graham touches on it. Danilo, constantly injured, doesn't score that many goals. And he cost more than Dessers, didn't he?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yet Dessers gets all the stick. He scored 18 goals this season. Okay, he misses chances. But I think he's a better team player as well.
I suppose the thing tonight is Danilo's not in the European squad. So really, there is the door's particularly wide for Cyril Dessers to get the opportunity.
Oh, without doubt, tonight. That's tonight. But I'm just thinking the overall picture. I get footballers take stick, and probably none more so than a number nine at Rangers and Celtic if they aren't lighting up the place every week. Dessers has done his fair share. Yet he takes all the flack. And so a bit of me that thinks Danilo gets off scot-free for some reason. And he's out injured, so you can't rely on him. Whether Dessers is always there. And again, he'll be there tonight, and I'm sure
I think he should start. He did score a terrific goal at Old Trafford, but from the bench. Didn't start the Tottenham game. Didn't start the one before that.
Yeah. I think he should start, because you do play players on merit, don't you? Dessers was left out the team because he was missing chances. His link-up play wasn't good. Egerman came in, showed he could do that better. But what do you want a player to do when they come off the bench or left out? You want them to respond, and Dessers has done that. He's shown a great attitude.
The last two games, he scored two goals, right? You're getting into this game tonight.
And a hat-trick before that and one before that.
Exactly. So you're getting into this game tonight. You're at Ibrox. You're expected to probably have more of the possession. You'll be in the front foot atmosphere. You know that Rangers produce the goods usually on a Thursday night in Europe. Dessers is a man in the box for me. I'll be amazed if he doesn't start a game tonight.
Thank you very much to Graham. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit from Philippe Clement. Here's what he had to say ahead of the game tonight.
In some cases you can do to keep an eye on the moving picture like it was before. In this system, it's almost impossible, because it will be then around goal differences, and a team can score two goals in 2 minutes, for example, at the end. So we're going to focus on ourselves to go for the 3 points, to work for that. And if you can score a lot of goals, you will try to score a lot of goals. But that's no difference with other games that we do. We always want to win, and we always want to to make a big difference towards the opponent. That's always what we try to do. I know also that Union is a very good team, very strong team, so it's not easy to win against them, and to win against them with a lot of goals, that's even more difficult.
Brian is on the line. Brian, how's it going?
Hiya, evening, you're all right, Baron.
Are you going to be keeping an eye on this ever-changing table, Brian? Do you think Rangers could sneak top eight?
I'm not too sure about that. We're just happy we're at least in the mix for the next round at the very least. And at the end of the day, another playoff game is another game. It's another crowd, more money coming in. So it's an extra game, isn't it? It's all money.
So is that the case then? It's almost like a no-lose situation for Rangers tonight. Just try and win the game. You get more money if you do. You finish higher up the table. But also maybe bigger than that, to just try and sort of keep whatever Rangers have got going at the moment, keep it up rather than have it dented, rather than feel like there's a step backwards if it was a bad performance or a defeat.
Yeah. Would you like to see a good performance tonight? Obviously, I'd also like to see some of the younger boys coming on again, like they did against Man U, Bailey Rice, Curtis and that. But I can see, I think Clement prefers McCausland ahead of him, so I think we'll play him first ahead of him. And obviously, Suter and Cherney possibly coming back would be good to see as well for mid the last 20.
Good point. It was only a week ago, Mark, that Bailey Rice, etc., got put into the fire at Old Trafford and stood up pretty well.
Well, again, quite an odd one for me, because there was opportunities for Bailey Rice to be in the squad against lesser opposition, which I find quite weird, but thrown at Old Trafford, I think it's great to see.
We might get onto that with Celtic last night.
Yeah, of course, same scenario. But it's great to see young players getting thrown in, especially at the deep end in an environment like that against world-class players. No, Man United aren't what they were. They're still world-class players on that side. And they held their own. They didn't look out of place. So, of course, you'd think, or the Rangers fans will hope, that they're included somewhere along the line tonight. If they start in 11, get the job done early, then I'm sure they will be introduced, and it's just a great grounding for them.
There's a lot going on, though, Brian, with all the teams in Europe, because there's still a transfer window. Ravi Matondo's left tonight. We'll be maybe thinking about who's coming and going as well.
Well, what I seemed to the producer there was with the boys about Agami, and I mean, Rangers in the past have held on to players too long. I'm not suggesting we sell Agami in this window, but obviously we've had the Morelos, Kent leaving for free when they could have been sold a few seasons before for at their peak transfer value. Obviously Kamara left kind of cheap as well. The only two we really done it right with, in my opinion, was Patterson and Bassi. Whereas it pains me to say, Celtic's obviously been a fair bit ahead of us on that, selling players for peak value compared to Rangers.
To be fair though, the day will come, Gordon, but Egerman, that's surely a bit off yet, is it not? You jump in right now. I take the point, Brian, no way wants to leave it as late as what happened with Morelos and Kent, but you'd be pretty surprised if
the Rangers were
desperate just now. But then again, obviously every player's got their price.
You're right, mate, you say there, Gordon, if a price comes in that Rangers can't refuse, yeah, of course, makes good business, but Rangers will be in no hurry to get the lad out of the building.
You two are absolute children, honestly. Get a grip of yourselves, chuckling away like two schoolboys. Mark, there is a bit of confirmed news tonight, though, with Ravi Matondo. And I wonder if eventually, I know there's a long way to go to catch up on player trading and all this sort of stuff, and some of it's just loans, so I'm not trying to over-exaggerate this, but Kieran Dowell was a big earner. I don't know what percentage of it Birmingham are covering, but it'll be a bit. Same with Ravi Matondo tonight. By all accounts, a very high earner, and one who hasn't managed to contribute a lot to the Rangers first team. So tonight he's joined Hanover on loan. So they eventually heading in the right direction. I'm not saying it's super quick progress, but they're getting there.
Well, it's a big ship to turn, isn't it? And it has to be done steadily, but it's the first steps. It had to be the next steps for Rangers. Overpaying for players who don't actually contribute or bring the goods on the pitch has to come to an end, that cycle. Philippe Clement and the club are trying their best, those two big earners. You're seeing the youth come through as well. Maybe it just coincides at the right time, but that's got to be the model going forward. It can't just be they'll correct it now and then do the same mistake in the summer again by bringing in other big earners and the young ones get put to the side. It's got to be a sustainable model.
Because it's never I almost start feeling bad for these guys, Gordon. It's not their fault, but players like Rabbi Matondo and like Kieran Dowell have become real symbols of where the recruitment's gone wrong for Rangers in the last couple of seasons. Bought either for big fees or on big wages or both with minimum contribution to the first team, whether that is in some cases due to injury and absence or whether it's just sort of form and quality. They've become symbols of the mistakes of the last few seasons.
Yeah, and that's where Rangers have really got to, you know, tighten their grip a little bit on the transfer market, Gordon. You can't have... Matondo was... Now, he was brought in for good money. He was on good wages, apparently. You can't have players like that and they're called impact players. They've got to be better than that if you're coming at that price tag. So I think Rangers are going down the right route with the younger players. You look at Chieftey at left back, getting attention from Chelsea. Brilliant. Igaman is really starting to look the real deal. I don't think they'll be in any hurry to get rid of him. So at least they're starting to address that.
Right, we're still building up to the game at Ibrox. What about last night, Celtic fans? Give us a call now and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're building up to kick off at Ibrox, I think maybe 20 minutes or so away from team news. Let's look back on last night with Stevie, who's a Celtic fan. How did you look back on it, Stevie? Are you proud of the performance?
Obviously, mate, not, you know, 2-0 down to get it back to each. Not mean you're going to have a go. So I'd rather go down 3 or 4, not mean fighting. And I mean, I did think Celtic had a couple of chances. Atati should have just took his time, and obviously with Martinez and either shot, not mean no, he'd palmered at the back. Yang had a chance as well. But I felt we gave a good account of ourselves. But I mean, if Arsenal had bidden £60 million for Ollie Watkins, I mean, did we go too early with Kyogo? I mean, at £10 million, you know what I mean? So it's no. And how much is Adam Eder worth? You know what I mean, with the goals that he scored? So I just think, Celtic are really undervaluing the players in it. You know what I mean? So,
so how much are they worth then in the Ollie Watkins calculator?
I mean, it's, again, Gordon, I mean, you could sit and say it's, again, other radio shows, Slate is, you know, I mean, all because our league's poor, blah, 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 you know what I mean? But to me, not me knowing the market value, you sit and say to yourself, if you can get £25 million for Kieran Tierney, you get £25 million for Jota, so you can, I mean, then you at least, he's, I mean, Watkins is 29-year-old, so there's no sell on that. They're not going to make any money off of him. I mean, if they bid £60 million, I know they're going to get back in with another bid. But, I mean, Eder's younger than him, and we get what, £10 million for Kyogo, and I know we only paid £2.5 million, so... But, I mean, Mark, you've got to really look at this and sit and say, there's teams down south that are looking for goal scorers, and our guys are scoring goals for fun, not only in the league, but they're doing it in Europe. So if either bags a couple against either one of the two big ones, Bayern or Real Madrid, whoever we get, you know what I mean, then surely that's going to increase his value.
This is great. We've gone from Eder's not worth £9 million a week ago to... get the price bumped up if he scores
last,
in the next round.
Last week we had Celtic fans phoning in here saying that Kenny, the young lad just coming back from loan, should be ahead of Eder in the pecking order. I was delighted for Eder. I think he needed a
big night for him.
Aye, yeah, I really do. And I'll tell you what, his first goal was exceptional, the way he got that. You know, okay, it was a deflection off McGinn, but
he didn't look like a guy lacking in any sort of confidence or killer instinct last night. Because even the second one's quite an emphatic finish, isn't it? The way that
Two good finishes. Look, Stevie talks here about Celtic chances. Let's not be kidded here. Second half, Aston Villa could have scored a lot more goals. Michael was brilliant. Celtic gave up a few chances. Watkins, I think, is a top player. I don't care what age he is. I think he'll end up at Arsenal anyway. The lad Morgan Rodgers looks different gravy, doesn't he? He looks he just looks a class above. I thought Celtic take all the pats in the back. 2-0 down, shell-shocked. They were all over the place. Aston Villa hit the post as well. If they went 3, that could have been a real sore one. All credit to them. They dug deep. They get back in the game, 2-2. I just thought it was a... See, for, like, say, a neutral, it was a brilliant game of football to watch.
Is it that recovery? Yes, they couldn't see it out, Mark, and I don't want us to ever really get to a stage where we're okay with losing games of football. You know, you want to do more. Celtic didn't get a result last night, but I think everyone was getting Dortmund vibes after 5 minutes. Maybe even worse. Yeah. So is it that kind of character and being able to land a couple of blows in an attacking sense and yes, fall short in the end, but is that the bit that would maybe be encouraging fans like Stevie?
Of course it was. That was an impressive part. And then you factor in under strength as well. Kyogo just out the door, Maeda suspended, Carter Vickers, one of your biggest, the biggest defender, are all out. So you put on a brave show. I think once they rode that little storm, I think when it hit the post as well and went into Schmeichel's hands, I think they settled then and they started playing some good football. It was almost like a weight had been lifted. The two goals, both goals, were fantastically constructed, well taken. Everybody knew what they were doing. Kyogo is just replaced by Ida because that's the type of goal Kyogo scores. He's in that 6 yard box for the cutback. And I thought they did show a good account of themselves in that respect up to half time. After that, it was an entertaining game to watch, really good, but I thought it was really dangerous and it proved that way, just going one for one at the back. You know, Trusty's got all the pace in the world, but he was clearly just left one for one.
How much of this was deliberate and how much did Liam Scales go for a wee wander?
For the third goal, one of them, I've seen it, everybody's commenting on it as well, and I agree, one of them should have just taken the fill. It's one of those things you're taught from a young age, you know, when you press and things get broken and they're away, just somebody has to take a cynical fill and just take it in the halfway line, stand in front of the ball and let your teammates get by. Two of them just allow the play to go on and before you know it, you're bust. But that was a theme that kept recurring as the half went on. And I know Celtic were trying to be brave and Villa are clever with their movement, but against that team who are so quick and dynamic, you're always going to concede chances and they're always going to punish you.
See, to be fair, Mark, and I totally agree with you. I thought Celtic went into a real high risk 1v1. I thought Trusty second half handled that not too badly.
He did. Do you think the penalty was a penalty?
Never a penalty in a million years.
See, I was the same.
Never a penalty for me. But I just thought that second half, they play at such a pace. And I know people say, what about Celtic chances? Aston Villa could have been out of sight. Let's not be kidded here. But I thought Schmeichel second half was excellent. But I thought Trusty really stood up to that battle against Watkins. Because you're right, he was left 1-1 and he's got great pace as well. I thought Scales probably was the one below par for me.
Stevie, who would you rather face, Bayern Munich or Real Madrid? There's a choice for you.
Obviously we had a go at Madrid, Gordon, but they always had a gear. I mean, two or three gears more than us. I mean, so even if McGregor's shot goes in, and obviously we've done our couple of chances, but I mean, just being a Spurs fan, you know, give me Harry Kane. I mean, so, you know, I mean, it'd be really good for seeing him at Parkgate, and I mean, having a go at Bayern Munich. You know what I mean, so
we'll find out tomorrow, Stevie. If you get your wish, thank you very much. Stevie wants Bayern Munich. He agreeing with that. Gordon Dale's nodding his head.
We know the city well, don't we? You're surely covering it in Munich.
I don't know why. Maybe because I'm like scarred and tried to forget about it.
Munich was okay for us.
We'll be up the Marienplatz.
I think if it was Cologne, we would be scarred. Munich was good.
Stuttgart
was the worst. Stuttgart was absolutely sick of the state of you. Yeah. Sick of the sight of you too.
But I've got to say, I agree.
Do you think we could arrange that? Because we don't usually do the European.
Do you remember
games,
I took a photo of the stadium? That's the nearest I've got to it. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We never went to the stadium. We watched it at a pub.
I took a photo. That'll be busy, that one.
That's a good shout. We should go back for the first Bayern Munich. Right, thank you, Stevie. Let's hear a bit from Brendan Rodgers. He says he's proud of the team. He thinks they showed Scottish teams can compete in the Champions League. Or maybe not. You can hear that later. Let's speak to Joe, who's on the line. How's it going, Joe?
Probably for the best, aye. How you doing, lads?
Good, Joe. What are you thinking?
Well, my thinking is, well, can I give a bit of context to it? The third goal that was, well, Aston Villa when they scored that, it was John McGinn who brushed off Arnie Boy, Arnie Engels, yeah? Now, when Brendan Rodgers was working his ticket out of Celtic in 2018, he was on a year's rolling contract, as many Celtic managers previously. So I had it in good word that he had tendered his notice in 2018.
And it was just after that they signed Odds and Edward for a $9 million deal. And he turned round and the deal was supposedly in the works for John McGinn, which the Celtic directors, as they do for any Celtic-minded player, were lowballing him. And Brennan said, you know, let's get this deal over the line. And the board turned around and said, well, you're locking your ticket. You're out of here. You said they were going to turn Odds and Edward from a $9 million player into a $30 million player. You're not funding you any more money to buy any more players because you'll be left within a year. True enough, within the month next year, Leicester came in. And we lost out in John McGinn. Now, he used his big bahookie to push Arnie out the way. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is, well, he was working his ticket then. Is Brendan, or was he last night, working his ticket last night? I don't know. I mean, the Celtic lack of, I mean, the investment they've put in the team now, they've started to up the ante by putting $9 million, $11 million in the last year or so with Adam Eden and Arnie Ingles. But is there true ambitions in line with the Celtic fans? I mean, I was sitting there, I don't know anybody else is a statue, but when you're sitting there watching it prior to the game, you could have looked at it and going, you know, Borussia Dortmund, Real Madrid, they're all going to bump up a bit. They're going to be quite high in the rankings. If Celtic, and this was about 10 minutes to go, Celtic had managed to get an equaliser. It's a big if, right? But if they were, they could have been in the mid-table of that league playing teams like Brest, Monaco, et al. A far easier draw. But yet the response with Brenda was, you know, throw on the two young lads. You know, Adam Eder could have went in the 90 minutes. Liam Scale could have went in the 90 minutes. The point I'm saying is, where is the ambition from Celtic? I mean, obviously, 90 minutes you're dealing with here, where, and in between. It's a bit of up in the air.
Did you not answer it yourself, though, Joel? I know that Celtic at times have been accused of this, but if in one window you go 11 million Arnie Ingles, 9 million Adam Eder, 6 million Austin Trusty, that's a bit of ambition, is it not? I mean, just because you can't then beat Aston Villa, I mean, that's a bit of a stretch. And what all this stuff about Brendan Rodgers working his ticket, I don't really understand the link.
Well, when you see him out there with his pecs out, he threw his jacket away in a freezing cold night in the Midlands, and he's out there, is he trying to show to the English media, you know, I'm still here, I've still got a team, we threw on these two youngsters. You know, the question I've got to say is, Kyogo, was it necessary to sell him the week before this game? Would it not have been a bit of ambition to say, you know, hold on, Rens, we can't play Jota, so we'll keep Kyogo to play this game. Give him a wee bit more firepower instead of having to dig out and bring in a youngster, which, fair play, OK, you put in a youngster. We're always looking for youngsters to come on and improve themselves. But at a key game, you know, where's the ambition from the Celtic board? You know, when we let Kyogo go in front of a key
I think
game.
There's a couple of things there, Mark. Obviously, he wanted to leave, right, first of all. I'm going to really try and distill this. Cause
I'm lost.
I don't want to talk about Brendan Rodgers.
I particularly like the pecs and the voice you put on with the Celtic board speaking to Rodgers.
I'm lost in various ways. So I'm trying to find our way out collectively. Kyogo wanted to leave, clearly really yep. wanted to leave, actually. I know that's not nice for Celtic fans to hear, but it was brought up a while ago. He clearly kept pushing it. So fine, and they get 10 million quid for a 30-year-old. This notion that all Celtic have to do to beat Aston Villa is have a wee bit more ambition. I think the gap's too big for it to be all about that.
Yeah. And you know what? I think Brendan Rodgers went in. That's what I was going to get about the point. Brendan Rodgers actually... they did have a goal. They clearly had a goal. And does that mean that people sit up and take notice of Brendan Rodgers being a good manager? Well, of course it does. But that's not him working his ticket. That's him trying to do the best for Celtic. So he was trying to progress into the latter stages. Again, then, Joe was arguing he wants to see young players in, and Brendan Rodgers puts young players in. Just some odd points here.
I also almost kind of wish we had the time to try and go back and analyse that bit about working his ticket the first time and John McGinn. I don't know if that time frame all matches up. And anyway, we'll agree to disagree with Joe. Thank him for his time nevertheless, and move on to tell you about this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. That call from Joe is the most confusing phone call I've had since last night when you called me to say you thought you were being catfished online.
That was a great conversation.
That all right? You feeling okay?
I'm feeling
brilliant. I smoothed it.
Oh, I loved it.
No, seriously, right? I'm on the way home for the show.
Oh,
believe it or not, we don't speak on the phone that often, so the phone goes, you say, are you in the car on your own?
That's a telltale sign.
I need your help. And I thought, oh, that, it did sound genuinely serious. Next thing, he's got me going through somebody's Instagram profile, trying to asking me about video calls and Snapchats and all.
Oh, wow. Was that a real person?
No, I don't think so. We don't think so, no. I have to say. And he's got me to thank. I should have let him.
I know, I was well on it. I loved it.
Your bank account would have been cleared out by 8 a.m. this morning.
I have to say, you should not you should not have sent them that first picture that you sent.
I know.
That was out of order. But anyway, I'm glad I managed to pull you back from the brink. It was not a conversation I was planning on having last night. Anyway, keep the calls coming. 0141 951 1025. I'm just double checking. Yes, we do. Right on cue, Andrew McLean. I'm giving him no time really to figure it all out, but I'm sure he's ready to go. We've got a Rangers, an interesting Rangers team, Andrew McLean.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. Rangers were forced into making changes from the weekend because, of course, two players are not in the European squad, Quinton Enciala and Yanis Hadji. They both drop out the starting lineup. In come Leon King and Václav Černý. That means that James Tavernier is moved into the centre of defence. So it'll be Jack Butland continuing in goal. It's then Leon King, James Tavernier, Robin Proper, and Jeff Day across the back line. Nicola Raskin and Mohamed Diamande are the two holding midfielders. It's then Barami, Černý, and Igaman, with Dessers leading the line once again. The substitutes for Rangers today are Kelly, Munn, Suter, Lawrence, McCausland, Rice, Lovelace, Curtis, Enfield, and Hutton.
Well, give us a call. What do you make of that? Gordon DL, kick us off.
I think all eyes are attracted to the right back position. King, centre half going into right back going into centre half.
So why not have them the other way around?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess it could be that.
Has Andrew got that wrong?
No, but the way that it is listed, and Rangers tend to kind of list it in position order, and it's Butland and then King as if he's the right back.
Yeah, but see, to be fair,
Old Trafford last week,
I thought Tavernier was brilliant second half in there. He looked really composed. He looked good. Everything about him. So he might have just looked at that situation and decided to go with Tavernier in there. King was a funny one because he came on at Easter Road at centre-back for the late stages of the game, but he's never really been seen, not played a lot of football. But I get back to up front, I think he's got it bang on with the front four, especially with Dessers. I'm over the moon he's playing. And you know something, I think if you create chances tonight, the form this guy's in, the confidence he's playing with, I think he can bag you a goal.
The first start since May for Leon King, Mark Wilson.
Yeah, that is a long time. And a long time, especially if you're getting out of position. That's why I'm surprised. I maybe think differently for you. I think it will just be surely him at centre-back and Tavernier at right-back. Remember, you need to win this game tonight. And where do Rangers get a lot of joy? You know, Tavernier on that right-hand side. I totally get that he did fine at Old Trafford, but that was a needs-must situation. You have got a centre-half. You've got two centre-halves there. I don't think there's any way.
Is King a left-sided centre-back, Mark?
I think he's right-sided, but either or. Mm. Yeah, I think you just need to play in your positions.
Let's bring in James then, who's from Bayliston, but on his way to the game. How's it going, James?
Hi, good evening, gents. Yeah, Gordon on my way to the game tonight. Just heard the team news, obviously. My first instinct's to think that to agree with Mark that Tavernier will be right back. But as you say, my son's just shown me the lineup in the car, and Rangers do tend to list it in positional order, which would suggest in that sense that King is right back. I mean, King recently hasn't had much of a look in. I think you said there he's not started since May. I don't think Clement particularly fancies him, if I'm really honest. You know, Tavernier, as you guys were saying, was moved into centre-back at Old Trafford when King's sitting on the bench as a centre-back. Yeah, maybe a wee bit surprised by that. Otherwise, the team, I would agree with Gordon Dale. I think you have to play Dessers. He scored five in the last three, something like that, albeit three were against Fraserburgh in the Cup. But if you look at the two finishes at Old Trafford and Tannadice, they're absolutely exceptional finishes. They're not just goals. They're, you know, the touch that he killed the ball with at Old Trafford and then, you know, hit it first time and then the left foot shot at Tannadice. Strikers are all about confidence, aren't they? And he has to play, and equally Agumani has to play too. So I think, broadly speaking, yeah, he's got the team right with what we've got available. Just a wee bit surprised that you guys, maybe a bit Leon King.
Maybe it's that thing you do at amateur football as well, that your least fancied player, and I don't mean to be cheeky to Leon King, I'm talking about in the eyes of Philippe Clement, he clearly has passed up opportunities to put him into the team or to bring him on. You just stick the least fancied guy at fullback because it's easiest, isn't it? It's easiest position.
Do you know something?
Endy can play there.
I can't second guess it. Yeah,
King got one side of the pitch to look at Gordon's.
Easy, just King, the straight lines, isn't it?
King is what I like to call in this game the last pick, right? And school, but you'd be
hope
the last.
His family isn't listening.
No, but that's the thing. I'm conscious of that as well.
I don't want just to make that about him chance.
Personally. Talking about Philippe Clement has, time and time again, either put someone else on or moved someone else about, and I wonder if we're seeing that again tonight. That's what I mean.
Well, time will tell when the team shapes up. Again, I'll be hugely surprised at it, purely because what I just mentioned there. You have to win the game. You want to be in the front foot. You've got Yefty on one side, who's an attacking fullback. Your other one's of it clearly Tavernier. What do you get for Tavernier playing in the centre of defence? Again, last week, have we ever seen Tavernier, apart from last week, playing the centre of defence? I can't remember a time. So why, when you've got an important European game, would you resort to it?
And not to really, I don't mean to be arguing this point too much, but just to pick you up, I suppose they don't have to win it in that sense of the word.
No.
And I don't think that necessarily means that you start playing players out of position anyway. James talks about your man, Gordon Cyril Dessers. Again, if he can score again, you're looking at five games in a row. He's got that hat trick in there as well. This could be really in the start of an important spell for him.
Yeah, I think he can get you goals, no problem, Gordon. See, if you give him the right ammunition, yes, I'll hear people shouting down the radio how many chances he's missed, but the greatest goal scorer of all time missed plenty of chances at Rangers, Alan McCoy's. But he kept going back for more than that, so it made him such a great striker. I think Dessers, if you give him the right ammunition, the right time, if he's composed, he'll score goals for you. Of course he will. I'd like to see his link-up play a little bit better. I think he's got to improve in that. I think he works hard for the team. Know the one that is sort of escaping that I think needs a big game? And I think he's went under the radar a little bit. Barami, for me, hasn't set the heather on fire just now. I think he needs to step up to the plate as well. I like the look of that. Igaman is playing, you know, very well. The Rangers fans love him. I don't want Dessers to be in the situation, Gordon, that, see, things aren't going right, it's very easy to get on his back, right? I think it's a bit unfair. It's a case of, oh, when you're doing well, okay, he's doing well, he's scoring goals, that's what he's there for. If he's having a bad game, it's the criticism, the pick on him. Listen, tonight's all about supporting him. I think that he's in great form, he's fully confident, and as I say, if you go and look at his career, he scored goals everywhere he's went.
Are you or your son, James, going to be keeping an eye on that league table and looking at where Rangers are and wondering if it's top eight, or do you just deal with that full time?
We can't control it, Gordon. You know, all we can control is the result at Ibrox tonight. So for me, I don't think I'll be keeping any eye on any other score. We just have to try and win the game first and foremost and then kind of see what happens. I think realistically, the chances are probably fairly slim. But we've done well in this, you know, we've done well in the Europa League. I think it was quite a difficult draw. You know, two English Premiership teams, Lyon were a really good side at Ibrox and thoroughly deserved to win. Olympiakos, decent side, the Swedish champions, Malmo. So we had a fairly difficult group, I think. So I'm pleased the position we're in. We're into the last game, we're at least in the playoffs. Let's see what we do tonight and then and then take it from there. Yeah, I think we've done okay.
Yeah, should be a good night. Like last night, everybody playing at the same time, that league table moving. I was just looking at the fixtures there, and two of Rangers' opponents, Steaua Bucharest and Man United, meet tonight. And it reminded me of a brilliant message I got earlier in the week, right? This is a lesson in ambition, aiming high, using your contacts, right? So when Bucharest came over here, one of the local Romanian journalists said, "Would you mind doing a quick interview about Yanis Hadji?" I think it was, and his contract situation. I said, "Yep, yeah, no problem." Did it. Never thought anything of it. And I received this message the other day, and I'm not taking the mickey out of the broken English, by the way, because my Romanian is non-existent. But I'll just read it as it came. The punchline's more at the end rather than the language. It says, "Hello from Romania." It's, and I won't name him. Journalist to Bucharest. "We made an interesting interview before Rangers FCSB. I hope you're well. Is there any chance, please, you have in your phone book a personal phone number to Sir Alex Ferguson?" So this guy is obviously sitting down to write his Bucharest v Man United preview and thought, who could interview for this? I know, I'll aim right for the top. Where is he? That wee guy for Glasgow will have the number for the best manager that's ever lived. Let me send him a
good
message.
Call. Well, right, hold on. Steps you can get to anyone in the world or something
Did
like that.
Did you not use your head?
Give him your number.
No. Shug.
Sir Alex hasn't returned Hugh's calls in about 13 years.
Listen, Shug's still got his number.
Why don't I reply to this guy right now and say I've tracked it down, give him your number.
Got
and see
one
if he phones you. See if he phones you before. No, say that you are Sir Alex. He'll not know the difference. You could do the impression.
Yeah, brilliant.
But I liked that. I thought, aim high.
Why get him on. Get him on. Oi.
Right.
I think you should.
Get that phone
you should.
Put on loud. Anyway, in the meantime, give us a call right now whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, you know the drill. There's a signed ball up for grabs. But more than that, the stuff that you can't buy, the bragging rights, the chance to humiliate Mark Wilson or Gordon Dalziel even more than they humiliate themselves. 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here on the usual number and Twitter. If you want to give us a shout there, you can do as well at Clyde SSB. And it's just another busy show. I say it every night, not for dramatic effect, but because it's so true. We've got two things happening at once, well, more than that, but particularly building up to kick-off, less than an hour to go now before Union Saint-Gilloise kick-off at Ibrox against Rangers. So give us all your thoughts. Is James Tavernier at centre-back with Leon King at right-back, or are we reading into that wrongly? Give us a shout. All your thoughts on the game itself, the permutations, what's at stake and all the rest of it. What about last night? Celtic fans, pride was the word Brendan Rodgers had in mind. How do you feel? How do you look back on it? What was gained? What was lost? And pick your choice, because this time tomorrow we'll know, is it Bayern Munich or is it Real Madrid in the next round? Give us a call and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The listeners are looking for their second win in a row because Marvin, best of the rest, Bartley, as he was last night, second only
knocked
to Andy
off his
Halliday.
Perch.
He lost, I think it was in a tiebreaker last night, so
I'm surprised that Marvin's up
even
at the
up
top.
There.
It's
a bit like the Scottish Premiership though, you know, it's so tight in that midsection. Mm-hmm. If you lose tonight, Mark, listen to this. If you lose, you drop 5 places.
Oh, that is pressure.
One defeat.
I deal with pressure well though.
So you basically go on top of Gordon Dalziel.
Oh, where no man wants to be.
Exactly.
Especially
back
not me.
To Germany memories.
So that's what a defeat Munich. Could do for you tonight. Ian's in Renfrew, how's it going, Ian?
Aye, not too bad. Yourself, Gordon?
Good, thank you. Would this be your debut, Ian?
It is indeed, yeah.
Who would you rather face?
Probably a dazzler, I think.
Is that right, Ian, would you?
No, he said high risk, high reward. He said he thinks.
Oh, I like that, Ian.
High risk.
Yeah, I like that. I think he's got something there.
If you lose, that's
it. That's true. Actually, that is true.
Yeah, Ian. I'll tell you what. I like the sound of your voice. You sound very confident.
Don't hear many Ians nowadays, do you?
No.
Do you not?
No. Not really.
No, no. Everybody, every Ian's changed their name apart from the one Renfrew.
Is it spelled I-A-I-N?
Just I-A-N.
Oh, you're just I-A-N.
Oh, that was, that was a weird race on the screen.
Well, some people do spell it.
Are you sure you're from Renfrew?
How would I know if Renfrew?
I'm just asking you.
A strange question.
You sound too polite.
Exactly.
He does.
You sound like you pull your poltergeist.
Maybe that's his...
I'm down
Maybe that's his telephone voice. Heads it will be Mark Wilson. Tails it will be Gordon DL. I've had enough of you two. And it is. He's got his wish. High risk. High,
high risk.
It's Gordon DL. On,
all the best, Ian.
Let's go,
Dazzler. Let's go, Ian.
Right, give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to so he can't hear us. Ian, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, your 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's the only Belgian currently playing for Rangers?
Raskin.
Which Scottish Premiership club have trees on their badge?
St Johnston.
In what city does this year's Champions League final take place?
London.
Which Italian club have signed Alex Valle on loan?
Como.
What was the score the last time Rangers met Union Saint-Gilois?
2-0.
Name any Premiership team Jim Goodwin played for.
St Mirren.
How many games does each club in the Scottish Premiership play in a league season?
38.
Okay, let's bring him back. Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm in.
What were you listening to?
I don't know the new song, but it's catchy.
Good, okay. 30 seconds, same set of questions. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Your time starts now. Who's the only Belgian currently playing for Rangers?
Raskin.
Which Scottish Premiership club have trees on their badge?
Trees. Ross County. Don't know.
In what city does this year's Champions League final take place?
Oh, Berlin.
Which Italian club have signed Alex Valle on loan?
Como.
What was the score the last time that Rangers met Union Saint-Gilois?
3-0. Haven't a clue.
Name any Premiership team Jim Goodwin played for.
St Mirren.
How many games does each Scottish Premiership team play in a league season?
38.
Okay. What do you think, Ian?
I'm raging. I thought you said bees. I was like, who's got bees in their badge?
Who has got bees, Ian?
Owl. No, that's wasps.
A wasp.
And they're not in the Premiership either.
There they are.
Bees. Trees is hard.
It's not. Let's go through.
Oh, is it fir part Motherwell?
What would give that?
Fir tree.
Like fir trees, like fir park, yeah.
Yeah.
See the.
Is it Motherwell?
Yeah, of course it is.
Oh!
Some Motherwell fan.
No. No, he's got. How many strips you got?
Big Motherwell fan.
God, I don't know why I never thought.
Fir park. Trees.
Yeah. Well, I got it there at the end.
Nicholas Raskin's the only Belgian to play for Rangers. You both got it 1-1. Fir park. Motherwell.
See if I lose out with that.
Ian thought it was bees, which didn't make much difference anyway. You both got it wrong.
What did they say with bees?
What did you say, Ian?
I said St Johnston. So I was racking my brain.
Why would they be the most bee-like team? I'm now interested. What made you think they had bees?
I don't know. I think there's yellow on the badge. That's what I was going for.
I don't even know if there is. But anyway,
I don't think there is.
Ian's just making that.
One each. In what city does this year's Champions League final take place? Do you know where it is?
Munich.
It's never
Munich.
Barely.
Is it? It's Munich. We've been speaking about Munich all night.
Yeah, by the way, you were close.
Returning. Well, he was
a couple
in the
hundred miles.
Where's did Ian get that?
He did not. Oh, he said London, which is always a good bet. I feel like it's at Wembley.
Ian, come on, think out the box.
Are you serious?
Go abroad.
No, it's at Wembley every other year, it feels like.
Well, it's not at Wembley this year, it's over in Germany. Every other year. I was just in Orange City.
Alex Valle signed for Como, Gordon DL, but Ian got it as well. So
Ian's not bad.
This is good.
Exciting.
What did you say for Jim Goodwin played for?
St Mirren.
Yeah, you both said that. Both said 38 games. So we're level. I've deliberately left the last question. What was the score the last time
Rangers
met Union Saint-Gilois?
I usually look at that because I know that question. But
you should have looked.
Did we Ian get it?
It is 3-0. You got it.
Oh! Tell me you never got that.
He didn't get it.
Oh, Ian. Devastated. What? Listen, I'm going to be fair, right? That was a little bit of luck there. You deserved a tiebreaker, mate.
You did, Ian. Oh, Ian, you did well.
Oh.
Man, gutted.
Oh.
Will we do a wee tiebreaker then?
Nah, we won't, Ian. Ian, just you got up the road, son.
Good man, Ian.
Stick an eye in your name the next time, mate. Help
your,
you.
Who's your team, Ian?
Celtic.
What did you make of last night?
That's even better.
What did you make of last night?
I thought it was a good game, entertaining. I thought we'd done well considering the players we had. I was ready to turn the telly off after the 5 minute though.
Were you thinking Dortmund or worse after the first couple of minutes?
I was starting to panic, especially when you've got Yang playing out wide. Do you know what I mean? That's always a worry.
I actually do all that as well, even just from a, because for me, obviously, it's more about that like kind of Scottish football thing. You know, you don't want other leagues to slag us. Sort of. That stuff is already going through my head, thinking ahead to tonight's show. Like, oh, we're going to have one of these like crisis nights about where Scottish teams are and all that stuff.
Joey Barton and Jamie O'Hara had already tweeted, hadn't they? Right in it. So you're right in that respect.
And listen, it was still a defeat. So don't get, you know, like I say, you don't want to get to the point where you celebrate that sort of stuff. But it looked like it was heading that way, didn't it?
It certainly did. I mean, Alistair Johnson off the line, off the post into Schmeichel's hands. Every time they went up the pitch, it looked like they were going to score. It did look like one of those nights, but like we say, start of the show, fair play to Celtic, because I've been in situations like that and you just crumble sometimes. You just kind of get anything right. But they stabilised the ship and they turned it round in that first 45.
See, you had a wee dig at Yang. Did Hugh Keevans put you up to that, Ian? He's trying to start a Yang hate club, I think, and I don't like it.
Oh, it was a wee guy that phoned up yesterday. I thought he was spot on with it. I would have started Palmer as well. It was a young guy that phoned up and I think he had said much of the same thing. But it was a... He doesn't fill me with confidence at all when he's on. He's one of the players that I think he doesn't know what he's going to do next.
But you couldn't have played Palmer last night. Not that tempo, not that speed with Villa coming down that side. At
do
least
think
with
Palmer's
Yang,
at least got that that bit.
What a Yang
better suited.
Oh, so Yang coming back and doing a job for the team, helping out Greg Taylor. He's got that bit of pace. Okay, not blistering pace. But Palmer's a player who likes to get the ball to his feet. He'll clip it beautifully with outside his boot, he'll curl it in, but he won't run the yards, and that's why I think he's fell foul of Brendan Rodgers. I don't think he'll
funnily
put
enough
it
Gordon
in.
Tonight reports that he's on his way to Athens ahead of a medical to join Olympiakos on an initial loan, was the story I think I saw earlier, Luis Palma. So you know, it'd be pretty surprising to go ahead of Yang in the pecking order last night if this stuff was in the pipeline.
Well, obviously Brendan Rodgers would have known that, Gordon. It'd have been a slap in the face to Yang. It's good for Palmer to get out. He's well down the pecking order at Celtic. He needs to get out there, play games, get his match fitness up, get a bit of confidence again. I wasn't surprised that he went with Yang. I agree with Mark. I think Yang gives him a little bit more security for Taylor as well. I know he's not his favourite player, but I thought Celtic responded great for 2-0 down last night. Unfortunately, they just came up short, and I thought Aston Villa ran out deserved winners. But unlike Ian, it's just another bad night.
Are you encouraged with Adam Ida's contribution, Ian?
I think so. It'll be interesting to see if another striker comes in, though. I imagine there would be, but I think it's maybe a kind of the kind of lift he needed. I think last week it was he probably just needed one to go in off his backside or something like that at the Young Boys game, and I think that was kind of pretty much what happened. I think it's given him a bit of a lift, but hopefully that can be an opportunity for him to kind of kick on.
Yeah, surely. Well, I think Brendan Rodgers has said as much, Mark. He's said it publicly, they want to bring in a striker. I know some people have spoken about Johnny Kenny, but I always wonder if it's a bit more likely that he leaves on loan in this window, and maybe Celtic fans will disagree.
I don't think Kenny's the answer to replace Kyogo, if that's what you're asking. I know Celtic fans think this young guy, often when you don't play for Celtic you become a better player. We've said that loads, and Kenny went out loan, scored goals last season, or was it this season when they get recalled?
Yes,
but anyway,
this season.
But to battle out Ida, Ida's 9 million, you're going to need someone of that kind of calibre. You're going to need to spend a bit of money in it. The only thing is they've left it incredibly late in the window. Unless they've got something up their sleeve. We all know Maeda can play there, but I think they need someone in. Especially, you've got these two games coming up against either Real Madrid or Bayern Munich.
No Maeda in the first leg.
No Maeda.
Whichever one it is.
So you're going with, I know Jota will be able to play.
Should be, yeah.
But you're relying on Ida being fit.
Okay, thank you very much to Ian. Another victory for the Dazzler.
How's that percentage looking?
Yeah, looking good.
It was a good performance. I thought they were tricky. Those questions.
This is where you're going.
I told you he was good.
Ruin your night, though.
I knew with the voice.
Actually, not enough to move you up tonight.
It's ridiculous. No,
because you're 7% behind Hugh. So you needed more than one win to move.
Tell me just out of curiosity, how many games have I played?
That was your 20th. Well done.
20th, and yeah. How many have I won?
14.
Good percentage.
He thought it was going to be more than that.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
His face.
By the way, on his face.
That's just
Buff
Mabbling. That's just Buff Mabbling.
Look at this guy's face. He looks that's like a younger man.
He had the rest of the work done.
No, just...
He's had a few extras.
Carbolic soap rubbed in.
Carbolic soap. He's had a few extras. Look,
oh, don't tell him about my few extras.
The forehead, you might see a difference in that and... Maybe a couple of days.
I'm still struggling, to be honest. Hope he's kept to the
seat. A few more wrinkles, maybe ironed out.
Graham is on the other line, thankfully. Graham, as a Rangers fan, what is on your mind tonight? What are you thinking about this game coming up?
Good evening, gents. Nice to talk to you again.
And you?
I'm just calling regarding just what I see is happening at Rangers at the moment and whether it's something to perhaps talk about. We've just hired a new assistant manager, which is quite interesting because he's quite a young Moroccan guy. And obviously we've recently brought in, you know, Eggman from that area as well. I don't want to try and say his name because tonight we've already had a few clangers with Igamami and...
Well, that's not what the caller called him, Graham, but I'm glad that you've gone for that because the thing that he did call him is what set these two absolute infants...
I don't know what you're talking about.
...off laughing.
I'm not even going to attempt to try and say his name and not put myself in that same position.
Good.
But,
Issam Sharai, I think, is roughly the name of the new Moroccan assistant. What are you reading into that then?
The point I'm making is that it seems that Rangers are trying to kind of expand their network into other areas of the planet in terms of who they're looking at. I think that's quite an interesting acquisition to bring someone from that area. We've also looked at people at JFD obviously getting attraction from you know bigger clubs. So I think the model that they're talked about is starting to take a bit of shape, and it's obviously going to rely on a bit of patience from the fans to allow that to happen. And you know, we want younger players in, but we also want instant success. I think we've got a good crop of players coming through. Will Clement get that patience from the fans? Because obviously we're dying to get success.
What do you think, Gordon? I've seen quite a lot attached to this appointment of a number two. Some people saying, oh, well, that proves Clement's not going anywhere if he's bringing in a new number two. Mm-hmm. I've seen people saying, is this the guy that will eventually replace Clement if he does go somewhere? I've seen Graham's theory about, you know, Moroccan and Igaman, we'll call him.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he did just work a lot of his days in Belgium, so it's probably just that... helps that Philippe Clement and maybe Nils Koppen know him from there.
Yeah, there are space available in Clement's backroom staff. Obviously, he's had a massive say in it. I do agree. I think the Rangers board have ticked the box in this one because they're going to go forward with Clement. I think things have improved in Rangers. I thought down at Old Trafford and the Rangers fans got a bit excited with the young kids and what's coming through. Unfortunately, they didn't have a look in at Tannadies. Good result. People say, well, is that him addressed away form? I think there's still a bit to go. The Europa League tonight, he's in a good position. So I think the introduction of this guy coming in means that Clement's probably get the backing of the board and he's going to be there for a while. But he has to keep turning it around because you know how quickly fans can turn on you. He had a real rough few months there. Fans wanted him out the door, no confidence, nothing in the way he was going about his business. All of a sudden, one or two results, some of the young guys starting to show promise. JFD linked with Chelsea. Igaman's been a big player. He's got Dessers back up, running, scoring goals. So I think with the introduction of the new staff member, I think it shows that Rangers are going to go forward with
him. When you said there was a space on his staff, did someone leave?
Andrew's Wilderink left over Christmas time.
Okay, I've missed that. Because I was curious about the timing, yeah, how it all came about. But
so he was the one that came in the summer. So Stefan van der Heyden was there previously. Yeah. Alex Ray, obviously, that we know. Andrew's Wilderink came at the start of the season or in the summer. And just left recently, some family issues.
It's never good, is it, for a team when you've got that kind of shifting behind the scenes, different ideas coming in. But of course, better to act sooner rather than later. It gives Issam Sharai a good run from now to the end of the season before he really has his probably main involvement at pre-season. So I'm sure the Rangers fans will be pleased that situation's sorted.
What's tonight all about, Graham? Are you got outs? You know, you hanging on to those outside hopes of top eight, or not quite that optimistic?
I think there's too many permutations that's required for it to be something that I'm pinning my hopes on. I just want a win and a good performance, and if we get a chance to maybe see some younger players as well. You know, I was quite encouraged to see, I think Clement's listening as well, that you know, he had a chance to bring on a Dowell or a Lawrence at one point, who were all on the bench, Matondos, when they was fit, and instead he was plumping for people like Bailey, Rice and Curtis, people like that. You know, Lovelace as well, these are the guys I hope that we get tied up. So I'm hoping to see those guys get some time tonight as well, if possible. Yeah, a win would be lovely, of course, just to keep the momentum going in the rest of the league. I don't think that the result really is hugely, you know, matter of fact tonight. We are. I think we're going to go to the playoffs. There's too many permutations required for that to be not the case. So at least get your own job done and see what happens elsewhere.
Yeah, always bow to the Scotland's coefficient page that keeps us up to speed on these things. So Rangers need to win and need 5 out of 8 other results to go their way. So it's a bigger chance than Celtic had last night, but not that big a chance. So
yeah, I don't know. But still a chance.
Just see what happens.
And about Rangers win, there's a financial reward, isn't there, for course, winning these games as well. Yeah. So that comes into play about actually going out and, like Graham said, get the job done and get the money in the bank.
Okay, thank you very much to Graham. 0141 951 1025. We'll get more of your calls lined up when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night when two of the finest, sharpest, most sophisticated footballing brains in the country and beyond put their minds together to try and answer the full-time teaser. Now that's when you send the question into us and these two brain boxes try and come up with the answer. So thank you very much to Stephen for sending it in. Very topical. Morgan Rogers, according to Stephen, became the 11th British player or British-based player to score a... Oh no, sorry, yeah, 11th British player to score a Champions League hat-trick. Can you name the 10 before him? So Morgan Rogers became the 11th British player to score a Champions League hat-trick. Can you name the 10 who came before him?
Lampard.
No.
Gerrard.
Also no.
Okay, Beckham.
No, you're just... Don't think.
Maybe start with strikers, the two of you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going with appearances though. No. Ryan Giggs, surely.
No.
No.
Strikers, come on.
Strikers.
British strikers.
Shearer scored one in the Champions League.
Yes.
That's who I was going for.
Defoe?
No.
Harry Kane.
Yes.
Right, now we're starting to motor.
Michael Owen.
Yes.
Yeah. Fowler.
No.
We're starting to motor the bike.
What was that video of a guy in the back of a motorbike you showed him?
It was me getting up the Airwell Road in my car.
Anyway, Michael Owen, Alan Shearer, Harry Kane.
Has any Scottish guy done it?
I mean, does it seem likely?
Yeah.
Peter Crouch did it?
No.
No. For Liverpool.
Champions League.
There's a really obvious
Haley,
one.
Haley, McCoy.
No. There's a really obvious one. Because this guy's every bit as good a striker as those that you've mentioned. In terms of record breaking and level he played at. I'd say a better player than those three as well, for what it's worth. But
British? Douglas?
No.
Better player than those three?
Mm-hmm. Well, marginally.
And is
I don't want to start an argument about whether he is or he isn't.
Oh, you have now. Is he played down in England in his career?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Quite famously.
Oh, that's annoying. I mean, like,
very famously.
Answers.
Very famous. Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool. Manchester United. Manchester United.
Rooney.
Aye. Rooney.
You familiar with his
big Waza.
Wayne Rooney. Okay, please do leave it there because that's four down. We'll get the other six before the end. And thank you again to Stephen. If you want involved in the full-time teaser, you want to see these two scramble answering your question, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's go back to Ibrox where we can speak to Andrew McLean. How are you, Andrew? Can hear us?
Yes, good. All good. Just here for an update on the team news, because Philippe Clement has been speaking ahead of this game to the various broadcasters, and he's confirmed that it will be Leon King at right back and James Tavernier at centre back. He has looked sort of reluctant this season, hasn't he, to play Leon King at centre back when they've been short there. None more so than at Old Trafford last week when they had injury problems. James Tavernier was the one that moved into centre-back, actually performed well there, didn't he? And Leon King, whose natural position coming through the ranks at Rangers has been at centre-back, but he's decided for this game that it's going to be James Tavernier at centre-back. And Leon King, yet to start a game this season, only played about 30 minutes of top team football for Rangers this campaign, comes in from the start, but at right-back.
Right, what do you read into that then? Because from the outside, so I'm trying not to make it sound sort of cheeky, like the outside, it makes no sense really, because if you do have reservations, if that's the right word, or if you are reluctant, as Andrew put it, to pick Leon King, then surely you make things as comfortable for him as possible. You don't ask him to be the one that does something out of the ordinary. And then similarly, James Tavernier, who doesn't usually play. So is it then, the only thing I'm left with, unless you've got something else, is he sees centre-back as being more important and feels like he can trust James Tavernier more than Leon King?
That's in a nutshell gone. If I'm King, right, I'm delighted I'm playing first and foremost, because Andrew touched on it there. He's only played 30 minutes. He's not played a lot of football. People come on before him. People are picked before him. His natural position is centre-back. And I thought when I seen the lad at first, I thought he was going to have a really good career. But tonight for me is a little bit a slap in the face. Tavernier is a right back and played all his career there, especially with Rangers, apart from a second half at Old Trafford. King is a centre half, played all his career there probably. I know he's been shifted into the midfield occasionally, I think, years ago. But I find that strange. I think it's a case of saying, right, we don't trust you to get in there and play in the centre half position. We'll go and play you out in the right-back position, see what you can give us. I hope the boy has a terrific night tonight. I really do. I think that, to me, I would feel a wee bit... I'd feel a wee bit unease with that situation.
I can't see sense in any at all. Centre-back is an easier position to play than right-back.
Without doubt. You would say that.
Without a shadow of a doubt. You're running in straight lines. You defend your bot. I did it. I played centre-back with Celtic in an Old Firm game. In terms of right-back, you're asked to do so much more. You're quite often up against one of their quicker players as well. You're quite often in possession, asked to go the full length of the pitch. You're obviously asked to take care of the ball. You're asked to provide assists as well as cover your centre-back. There is so much more to being a full-back. But then, that's okay if you've not got a right back and you're putting him in. You've got a right back, so you're shifting two players into
unless
positions that are formed.
Does it depend specifically on what you're looking for that night? So presumably he's not going to ask Leon King to do sort of loads of overlapping, loads of crosses into the box. Maybe he just feels he can actually be a bit more
defensive
on that side, and then Jeffrey does more on the other.
Perhaps
possible.
Yeah.
Right. I'm same with Mark. Look, Tavernier went in there and played well at Old Trafford. That doesn't mean that he's all of a sudden a right centre-back. You know, he's went in there makeshift, no pressure on him. He played really well, to be fair to Tavernier. Defended well, organised. But if you've got a natural centre-half there and you're going to play him, you don't swap them around for me. For 45 minutes at Old Trafford, do you think, right, okay, King, you're a centre-half, but you've got to play right-back. Where my captain plays, and how many games has he played there at right-back? How many assists has he had? Many goals has he scored? But we don't really trust you in the right, the centre-back position. We've got to put you at right-back, and we'll put a right-back who is probably one of our biggest threats, especially at home, going up and down the flanks, putting balls in the box. We've got to stick him at right and right centre-back. I think
excited.
That's a slap in my face.
You make a good point about making King feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Again, I've been there when I've been frozen out a team, and you go back in and all you want to do is play your natural position and make it as easy as possible, and the guys run about you to help you. To be put somewhere foreign and asked just to
I
go
guess,
out there.
I feel like somewhere in the back of my head, Leon King has played a bit there at youth level and stuff. Maybe someone can correct me if I'm wrong. Still would not be what you'd expect.
Yeah.
I realised because I butted in, then I let you finish, I just randomly shouted, "I'm excited," out of context.
We were happy for you.
To clarify, I'm excited to see. Can you imagine? Because we spent years on this show talking about James Tavernier. He's actually a right midfielder, or maybe he could even play in central midfield. Mm. Imagine this is it. Imagine this is the transition to being a centre back.
A sweeper.
Nah, I don't think that's
That falls down, I think, is that's been one of his weakest points.
Defending
that kind of middle 6 yard box to his back post, balls coming across.
Maybe we're slight. I mean, I think Leon King has played right back even for Scotland under 21s, even played in midfield for them. I wonder if we're maybe just over. Are we over egging it? Is it maybe more of an issue than we're making?
I think we're highlighting it because of one thing. Tavernier is the natural right back, right? That's where he plays. Mm-hmm. End of story. That's what made him captain of Rangers. That's where he's made his hundreds and hundreds of games or whatever he's played for Rangers. And you've got a natural centre half. Now, if you go in and you say to Tavernier and King, right, I'm going to play you tonight. Forget who we're playing. What position do you want to play? Tavernier's saying right back and King's playing centre half. That's as simple as that. Yeah. But to be fair, right, I totally get it. The fact that he's looked at Old Trafford, Tavernier was excellent. Right, we'll go with you again.
The equivalent would be Celtic turn up to Villa Park last night and Skills is playing left back and Greg Taylor's playing left centre half. And you're thinking, what's going on there?
Mm. Yeah. I get it. Okay, we'll see. Keep the calls coming. So a big night for those players. It was a big night for Adam Ida last night. He says he is ready to be Celtic's first choice forward in the absence of the now departed Kyogo.
Any striker wants to play all the time, and Kyogo has been fantastic. You know, he was a great player. He's a legend at the club, but now it's up to me. Now I've got big boots to fill, and it's great for me. It's great motivation. I just want to keep the spot now and keep going. It's good for me to get my confidence off, get on the score sheet, give me that motivation to want more. It's been a great week, and I think for the boys overall, it's been good. You know, we did well. We're going to be playing against the top teams in Europe now, and that's the level we all want to be at.
What about Kyogo, new manager? Sacked already.
Is he?
Before he's even played under him, yeah, he's gone.
Ooh. Well, that tells me that the manager never made the decision.
Yes, they knew that was in the pipeline anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But what are they, fourth bottom is a league?
It's around there.
That's that what fifth bottom makes that move all the more odder. To go to a recognised league, he says, fine, but not a team that could be out of that league shortly.
Okay, let's bring in James, who's on the line. How are you, James?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Mark. Good evening, Gordon. I'd like to talk about the game, the Celtic match last night. Please tell me, what has Yang brought to the table over the last five matches? Please pick something out. I'm sorry, I'm not going to slate the boy, bring him down. I don't think I'm that type of person, but he contributes nothing. Last night, he done nothing. Every time he's in for a 50-50 ball, they flick him away like a fly. Brendan Rodgers is the manager. He knows what he's seen. He must see something that we don't see. But he hasn't contributed, guys, in the last five games. Can you tell me why that is and why Brendan's picking him?
Tell the man. Come on.
Yeah, look, I tried to defend him. I thought he needed a run of games. He's getting a few games. I thought first half up at Dingwall, Ross County, I kept saying it before the game, look, show me something. Show me a bit of being positive. Get the ball. You've got bags of pace. Get at defenders, because my criticism of them, I think they played Dundee United on the Wednesday night or Celtic Park, and every time I watched them, he come inside and he gave off the easy pass, and I thought, you're not going to stay in the Celtic team doing that. You've got to be a bit more positive and get forward and take people on and create chances for your strikers. I watched him last night. He works hard. He puts a shift in for the team, but I can't get a defence for him. For James, I can't sit here and say, right, okay, he's young, give him a bit more time, which obviously Brendan Rodgers feels that he needs. It was a big game for him last night. He worked his shift, but he didn't really bring anything in attacking sense for me.
I think that's basically that. He works hard for the team. He maybe fits the structure of the team better than the others that were on the bench. He's got a wee bit of sharpness. So you see him, he played his part in the first goal, didn't he? Getting the ball and playing it inside. So he's got that. But again, I agree with James and Daz there in terms of the bigger picture. like Celtic have had a bid rejected for the Sarpsborg winger. I think that'll on go and that'll get done probably sooner rather than later. And Yang will just be this player who is there just to come on for 20 minutes here and there, or when there's a large volume of games, you'll find him playing one or two games in a row. He's never going to break the mould at
is that not
the next one to sell
is that
on.
Not the point, James, though? Because I'm not saying he's been brilliant, but if Maeda's not suspended and if Jota's registered and up to speed, and even if James Forrest fit, then Yang's involvement is limited. He's playing at the moment. You're kind of asking why is he in the team. He's been in the team because he kind of has to be, because him or Luis Palma.
Well, you could have Paul Bernardo, I'd put in Luke McCowan.
Nah, but we spoke about this last night, Mark. That's just not Brendan Rodgers. And in fact, it's not a lot of modern managers. They've got their way, they've got their style. Everything they do is centred around it. They work on it relentlessly, and they try and go like for like.
Yep.
As good as these players are, as soon as you put Luke McCowan there or Paulo Bernardo, it's just they're not training to fulfil that role.
Of course,
the way that Yang is, and I get why fans like James. I don't even love it myself, but it is a very modern football thing. It's all about structure. It's all about the roles. It's all drilled into them so much. You can't expect with a couple of days training that Luke McCowan goes and does that role.
And that's just a natural thing. It's very difficult, especially in those wide areas, to replicate that. Look, maybe you could get away with playing, you know, centre midfielders at centre back and right back, but when you at the top end of the pitch in the wide areas, you can't put a Bernardo out there. You can't stick a Luke McCown out there. The profile of these players, Yang, Maeda when he was brought in, Jota, it's because they've got that spark, that little bit of sharpness. They know how to play that position. They're comfortable being on the line, and they know how to react off the ball as well. I think if you put someone else in there, just square peg in a round hole, you'd see a big difference. So Yang fitted the structure. He's not got the end product, he's not got the burst that will get him away, but it was a necessity again. And you're right, he won't be in the side, but you need that in a squad. You need to compile a squad of 20 odd players for occasions where you've not got your first pick or even your second picks.
Thank you very much to James in Port Glasgow. How about this full-time teaser? Morgan Rodgers became the 11th British player to score a Champions League hat-trick last night. Can you name the 10 who came before him? You've got the big hitters, Harry Kane, Michael Owen, Wayne Rooney, Alan Shearer.
Did Sterling do it at Liverpool or Man City, one or two of them?
Raheem Sterling is on the list.
Good one. Gareth Bale
is also on the list.
Brilliant.
1, 2, 3, 4 to get. Well, we'll get them and back to Ibrox when we return.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. There is still time to squeeze in a call if you're that way inclined, or send us a tweet, or however else you plan on getting in touch. Let's check in on this teaser. And again, just a quick reminder, because it's so important we keep them ticking along. If you think you've got it in you, you think you know your football, you can come up with a question that will test the pundits, send it in an email please to fulltime@clyde1.com. That's what Stephen did tonight. And very topical. He's obviously got straight to this morning. Morgan Rodgers became the 11th British player to score a Champions League hat-trick. Can you name the 10 that came before him? So Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, Gareth Bale, Michael Owen, Wayne Rooney and Alan Shearer. Means you've got 4 to get.
I'm going to stay with Manu Rashford.
Yes.
Oh, good shout.
Sometimes he is better than the 63-year-old goalkeeping coach.
I think I've got a belter, but I'm not sure.
You go for it.
Ray Parlin?
No.
Say no.
No.
I'm sure he scored a hat-trick.
I can't believe you come out with that.
I'm Ray sure Parler. I saw him score a hat-trick.
Yeah, with Alan Brazil in the wine shop.
Let me search for Ray Parlin hat-trick.
And I'm sure it was against a German club.
Ray Parlin.
Away.
Hat-trick.
A German. See if that comes up.
Werder Bremen.
Thank you.
But I'm assuming it just maybe wasn't the champion. Yeah, UEFA Cup.
Oh, no!
Fair play. It's not as ridiculous as that.
We must be staying. Man, you with their guys here.
Scholes.
Nah.
No.
Oh.
Andy Cole.
Dwight York or Andy Cole?
Which one?
Andy Cole.
Thank goodness you didn't pick Dwight York.
How?
Because he's not British.
He's not British. Right, okay. That's quite simple. We'll go for Andy Cole.
Well done. Okay. Two to get. Hopefully we'll get them
Yorkie
before the end of the show. Anything else you want to pick up on quickly before we go back to Ibrox and really ramp it up? I don't think the Motherwell situation really developed today, has it, Gordon? No, I think names yet. Is it a bit early?
Listen, they'll burn in data with names, of course they will. They've got a big game to concentrate on Sunday. I think, obviously, the timing of it, Monday, everybody was caught by surprise. I think next week they'll start to just settle down and look at the situation.
A banner has gone up outside Fir Park tonight. It says, "Thanks for everything, Kettlewell." So maybe just a wee sort of gesture. The Block E fan
might come back.
Gone and
see that? Is it too late?
Stick it on the gate.
It's only joking. I'm back.
So there we are.
But by the way, do you know, think the appointment of a new manager surely has to come soon when you look at where they are on the table, recent results.
I think, though, what you've probably got, well, what you do have is Celtic this weekend.
Yeah.
Which is
Scottish Cup,
it's going to be tough anyway, and it would be too soon. And then they're out of the Scottish Cup,
of course.
So I think maybe by that next league game.
Who would you rather? The top of that list?
You two. Any names? It's time for you two to go back in.
So do I.
Well, I would save them a lot of money and expenses.
Maybe Neil, right, of the realistic characters, what about Neil Lennon with you as his assistant?
Do that, no bother.
He'll be the kit man or something.
No,
he can bring
his
RT.
Oh, he is good, that kit man.
Well, Scott Brown, Neil Lennon, headed two at the top of the.
I think it's swell, isn't it? You just see all that kind of a dagger to the heart of Motherwell fans actually tonight to make it worse. Alan Campbell, long-time fan favourite, great player as well. It's a brilliant signing for Dundee United. It's been confirmed tonight.
I've got to say, Jim Goodwin's got his recruitment bang on up there, isn't he? He's got a real good squad. All credit to Jim. He came under a little bit of pressure at Tannadice. Eventually got them up. You were thinking, oh, it's got to be a difficult year. I think everybody would thought they were down the bottom of the league.
I think I had them in the top six.
Did you?
Yep.
His recruitment has been excellent and he's doing a great job now.
Okay, big game tonight though. Let's go back to Ibrox. How's it looking there, Andrew McLean?
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yeah, Ibrox still filling up as we wait for the teams to come out the tunnel. Who really knows what we're in store for tonight? We saw last night the moving parts in the Champions League, the different results, the late goals, the way that these big league tables can change so drastically over the course of a night with 18 games all happening at the same time. It's now the turn of the Europa League. Philip Clement says his eyes won't be elsewhere. The eyes of the players, the eyes of the staff at Rangers won't be elsewhere. Simply, they need to just make sure they win this game and see what happens. Rangers 13th in that table at the moment. Amazingly, they could finish as high as 5th in that table, but they could also finish as low as 23rd. That top 8, though, is exactly where they want to be. That'll allow them to skip by the playoffs and head straight into the last 16. To get that, they need to win here tonight against Union Saint-Gilloise, and they need to rely on several other results. 8 games can affect where Rangers finish. If 5 of them fall in the right directions, top 8 will be secured for Rangers if they win tonight. Before the game, fans were singing Cyril Desser's name during the warm-up. His strange Rangers career continues. It looked like he'd be away, but he's leading the line again after 6 goals in his last 4 games. The last 2 really good strikes as well against Manchester United and Dundee United. I'll just give you that Rangers team again quickly. 2 changes because Nsiala and Hadji not in the European squad. In come Leon King and Václav Černý. But crucially, Leon King will be playing it right back, and it means captain James Tavernier goes in to the centre of defence where he finished the game against Manchester United at Old Trafford. So Jack Butland in goal, the back 4, Leon King, James Tavernier, Robin Proper and Jeffy. Nicholas Raskin, Mohamed Diamandi in the middle, Černý, Igaman and Bairami in behind Desser. So substitutes Kelly, Munn, Suter, Lawrence, McCausland, Rice, Lovelace, Curtis, Enzio and Hutton, and we are close to getting underway at Ibrox.
Come on then, you two, score predictions before we bid you farewell.
2-0 Rangers.
Cena 1, beat the pundit, I'll go 3.
3-0 Rangers. Are they going to get all those stars aligning? Can you see the five, was it five or eight, five other results going their way to
no.
get a top eight finish?
No, I think big that's ask. A big ask, yeah. yeah. But I think they'll be comfortable tonight.
Could finish still pretty high up then.
They've had a good campaign, I think, in Eric Orr said. Tough group, highlights, probably Tottenham, Malmo on the road, ever so close at Old Trafford. And if they get a win tonight, then I'll top off a good campaign so far.
Right, let's round it up. We have got the 10 British players to score a Champions League hat-trick before Morgan Rogers became the 11th last night. Harry Kane, Marcus Rashford, Raheem Sterling, Gareth Bale, Michael Owen, Wayne Rooney, Alan Shearer, Andy Cole. Two to get. Really tough. Really tough.
Steve McManaman.
No.
I don't know if I said. Did you say Fowler?
No, I didn't say him yet.
You said him earlier.
I thought so.
Don't waste my time.
Michael Bridges.
He's coming out with Leeds. Some nonsense now, isn't he?
It's a good shout, though, because Leeds were a good member back in those days.
Absolutely no chance.
So,
is any of them still playing?
Yeah, this guy is. I would guess it was probably for Man United.
I've got it.
What? Hurry up.
Centre forward. Danny Welbeck.
Yes.
Oh, Danny good Welbeck. Shout, I've got that.
The last one, we're going way back. Blackburn. Mike Newell.
What a shout. Shared a room with him one time.
Sorry.
It's another story.
Like, for
tune in next Thursday.
For business or pleasure?
Bit of both.
On that bombshell, let's go. Whatever happens at Ibrox tonight, we will look back on it tomorrow, and then we're straight into the weekend preview and the closing days of the transfer window as well. Thank you so much for all your calls and your tweets, and for those who listened on. We can be back here tomorrow at 6, so make sure you see us then. Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen will be here, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday.